I think it's incredibly important that we remember that we need to change, right? So, and I'm gonna really echo this in just a minute here, but the thing to remember, if we're doing the same old thing we've always done, we're probably still getting the same old results we've always got, right? And I think that sometimes what happens is, and it's easy to see as plain as the nose on your face, if you claim to be a Christ follower and you're still doing the same thing, you probably haven't really been born again. Because to know Christ demands change. It demands change from us from the inside out. So this is some things, it might be controversial to some people. Some people don't like this type of teaching. And the warm, cozy, filling messages are somewhere else, not here, right? Amen. So we just want to go ahead and take it straight, amen. So we're excited today. And I want to remind you, we got many people battling with COVID and in the hospitals and stuff. And that stuff is still real, amen. But we need to cover each other in prayer because we pray for God's will to be done, and that ain't his will. Amen? So we know the enemy's attacking our friends and family and congregation, but we know one thing, we remain strong in the Lord. This morning I have a message for you out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but before we turn to that, I'm going to give you the title of the message, Nothing Changes Without Change. Nothing changes without change. Everybody say, I'm listening, and I'm going out changed. Now, we got all of you the first part and half of you on the second part. All right, so the truth is we need to change. So the older I get, the more I know I need to change. Amen? And so I want to talk about this morning, but I want to give you, we think about this. And I think about the book of Ecclesiastes, and, this is such a powerful book. And probably most of us has never even read it or studied it. And that's good, but if you want to know about you today, tomorrow, forever, if you want to know about change, that's the best book for you to read. I know everybody says, well, read them Gospels and read the book of James and all that. Well, here's the thing. If you want to read and you really want to change, pray over Ecclesiastes as you read it because it begins to tell you some things in here. It tells you that you need to change. Everybody say, I need to change. I want to remind us of that this morning, but I have a note that I had written down here. Then when we talk about the book of Ecclesiastes and the purpose of that book and why it was penned, it was written by Solomon. Amen. We know he's a wise man, right? And Solomon was a wise man, but really he wasn't very wise till he got older and he noticed the change that he needed. But the purpose of this book in the Bible is to spare the future generations of the bitterness, if you will. And we know if we're bitter, we're just not getting better, right? It's to spare the future generations the bitterness of learning through their own experience that life is meaningless. It is meaningless apart from God. And the author Solomon, what he was doing here, he's looking back. He is looking back on his life as he began to pen this book. And this is what he was doing. He's looking back, and he understood that he lived most of his life apart from God. As he lived most of his life apart from God, you begin to understand what was going on here in this message that we have this morning, and we begin to know that Ecclesiastes shows the certain paths in life, certain paths that we decide to take on our own free will, it leads to emptiness. It'll lead to emptiness. This profound book also helps us discover the true purpose of life. The true purpose of life. Isn't that exciting? So I got a real good, we're into Christmas season now. If you're excited about that, don't clap your hands, okay? All right, so some people already started Christmas, and we went by the Christmas store up in Berlin, Ohio this week, and I said, they don't even have a parking spot. So, you look at that, and people are already celebrating. So I thought I'd start off with a Easter story. Isn't that better? Everybody say amen. You'll be sick of Christmas in just a few weeks, so it'll be all right. But I want to talk to you about this story that I shared years ago. It's called the Chocolate Bunny Story, amen? So if you just take your minds back a little bit, begin to think and meditate on chocolate bunnies. You begin to think when you was a little kid, you often looked at this Easter basket, right? You would come up with high anticipation, knowing that you was going to get this great big Easter bunny in there, that basket. It was decorated with all this green fake grass, nasty stuff that you put in your sister's hair if you was me. It had green paper that was all around it. With Easter morning, the eyes of anticipation looking at that basket and waiting on. You remember that? Some of you don't remember that, okay? But we had an anticipation. We could not, just like Christmas morning, we could not wait to get that Easter basket. And there's a lot of goodies in there, but we wanted that Easter bunny. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. You'll know the message today, too, then. Amen. We'll know about that Easter bunny. As soon as you got it, what's the first thing you bit off? The ear. The first thing you do is you got the big old honk in the ear. They stick it up there, and that's for your mouth. You say, I'm going to chew that thing off here, right? You begin to bite that ear. Do you remember what happened if you was my age? It was always solid. It was hard. You get it off air, get slopped, all that chocolate run down your chin. But then all of a sudden, you begin to look at it. When you get a little older, you bite it, it was hollow. Everybody know what I'm talking about? This is what this book's about. This book is about anticipation. And when you find yourself in a place where it's hollow, that's what it's about. So if you know the anticipation of an expectation of wanting something so deep and so much as a child would want an Easter bunny, and when you bite into it, knowing it's going to be solid chocolate, it's going to take you a week to eat it, and you can bite that hollow Easter bunny and eat it in just a couple seconds. It was empty, futile, it was hollow, nothing. The words that really ring is rings is disappointment, disillusionment. Yet this is the life experience that many people face today. They think that, well, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get born again. I'm going to do something different. And they enter into this relationship with Christ. But yet it says to be of Christ, you'll be known by your fruit. So the question, the challenge as we go into this holiday season and this time to celebrate Christ and the birth of our Savior is, are we really champion relationships with individuals? We think about what we've done when we bit the hollow ear of an Easter bunny. We was grasping for the sweet things, wasn't we? We wanted that sweet thing with anticipation. And then as we got adults, we begin to grasp those same sweet things with the same anticipation. We wanted possessions. We wanted certain experiences. We wanted power. We wanted pleasure. But we found nothing inside. Life is meaningless. We begin to sink into deep despair. And 3,000 years ago, this is why this stuck out to me. Solomon spoke of this human dilemma that many folks walk through today. And he begins to talk about this human dilemma, but the insights, everybody say insights, and application, here it is, of his message are relevant to our lives and the times of today as well. So I want to encourage you to read this book. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it's very familiar, probably the most quoted part of this book, but it's a message for you and I this morning. Nothing changes without change. To everything there is a season, and a time for to every purpose under the heaven. Listen to this. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time to war, and a time of peace. Father, we just pray this morning that this word would be sown so deep into our spirit. God, give us a hunger. God, give us a thirst for your infallible word. God, we would ask that this word today, as Solomon penned it, looking back on his life and knowing there's times for everything, but one thing is constant, and it's change. God, I pray that today that we have anticipation. Our anticipation is not about a hollow life or a hollow Easter bunny. Our anticipation, Father God, is a time with you. Father, we thank you that you wipe away every tear, that God, you heal us from the inside out. God, we thank you for deliverance. God, we thank you for salvation. God, we have so much to be thankful for. So, Father, today we would ask that you speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirit today. God, that you would quieten us and let us hear what you have for us individually and collectively. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. So when you listen to the scripture and the intro into that scripture, it's pretty incredible to think about how good our God is. To know 3,000 years later that this would be applicable to your and my life today. to think that this is probably one of, if not the most quoted scripture when it comes to dealing with changes in the Bible. Understand that nothing changes if nothing changes. Someone once said, change is inevitable, but misery is optional. Amen? Everybody say, I've lived that life. I had that talk with some folks again this past week. They just wanted to drag me down, all right? Hadn't talked to them in a few years, just wanted to call and puke on me. You ever got anybody like that? Yeah, just me, all right? Maybe it's me to you then, I don't know. But every now and then, what you got to do is say, look, man, I ain't into all that misery and negative and all that. Man, I was delivered of that, amen. I have been set free. So if you like that, go hang out with that, you'll become that. But I know one thing, I want to change. Amen. Everybody say, I want to change. Some people imagine that it is possible to live a life without change. Absolutely not true. But we can no more live and not have a change in our lives than we can jump without feeling the impact of gravity. You can jump and say it ain't going to change you, but if you jump high enough, it's going to change you. Amen? Therefore, to live is to experience change, and any thought that we can avoid change is a pure illusion to you, and it's a distraction of Christ telling you, from the enemy telling you, do not have to change. Women have the rights today. I've shared this before in my messages. Women, we have women's rights. You're supposed to be clapping. Hey, finally! What's the matter? Oh, you're taking it for granted. Yeah, see, we do. Because if you would have got when you had been back in the movement, when women finally started getting treated like they're supposed to and started getting some rights, amen, you'd be celebrating today because there's something that changed, amen. So you talk to your grandmas, I sure be happy to tell you, right? Something changed. And how about this? A black person, they can sit in the front of the city bus today, and they can sit anywhere they want to, and they can have the best seat, any seat, just like we can. Well, why is that? Why don't we celebrate that? Something changed. Why aren't we celebrating that? Because we think, well, it's just inevitable. It's the way it is. Who cares? Let's make it flat-flaying. Listen, something changed. Everybody say change.
Change.
Listen, I got this one that I shared from years ago. No one dies in an epidemic no more. What? I got this. No one dies in epidemic numbers with polio and influenza and smallpox because something changed. Now, the last 2 years, we've been inside of COVID. And many have died and been exposed and been hurt by this. And someday we'll say, nobody has died from polio or influenza or smallpox or that COVID stuff anymore. You think about that, we begin to understand that the truth is this, is that it takes change. It's important that we know that we need to change, and change changes something in us. I can try, look at this on the board for you this morning. I can try to resist change and stay the way I am. You know that person? Yeah, Sheila, go ahead and nudge Ralph. Oh, Ralph, I meant Sheila. Ralph, go ahead and nudge Sheila. So I'm going to pick on their visitors today, right? And they're Lauren's parents, by the way. So we'll pick on them a little bit. And this is Lauren's grandpa right over here, 89 years young, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. But I can resist change and stay the way that I am or release my resistance to change. Because there is a natural resistance to change, isn't there? I've always done it this way. I am who I am. This is the way I was raised. This is who I am, and if you don't like me, leave me alone. Sound good? Sure sounded like the way I used to be, and I took all that out of my own autobiography, amen. Self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteous, self-indulgent. When you're full of self, it's almost impossible to change. But when you become a person of God, it's telling you that you're to become selfless and self-centered on who Christ is, amen. We got to come to the place where we begin to know that there's a change that takes place inside of us the moment that we accept Christ. Once we accept Christ, I want to tell you in just a few minutes that we are new in Christ if we have Christ in us. You cannot have Christ in you and remain the same. Amen. Now, I know this might be some controversial preaching this morning, but I want to tell you the truth. It's time for us to belly up and go ahead and say it's time for us to have some real change. It's time for me to be known by my fruit. They might have used to call me something else, but today they're going to call me child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am somebody in Christ. It's like a hot air balloon, right? It's like a hot air balloon, you think about it. That goes up when you remove the weight of it and the sandbags come off of it. The hot air balloon cannot stay grounded any longer, and it will rise and rise and rise. Now, put you in there. You was a lot of things. You was addicted. You was breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. That's me. But the day I met Christ, I changed. The day you met Christ, you changed. The day that you come into a personal relationship with God, something began to happen. We got to do this. Release today what is holding you back. Think about the hot air balloon. What is holding you down? What's holding you? It might be your nasty mouth. If I get mad, you push the right button. I'll cuss you out in a minute. And then praise Jesus when I'm done that I didn't punch you. All right? We can come up with all kinds of crazy things thinking we're holy when we're acting like the world. But there's got to be a change that when they take advantage of you, when they treat you wrong, when they say the wrong things, you've got to begin to power down instead of power up. Can you say amen? Amen. Release what is holding you back this morning. Everybody say, I'm going to release it. And I hate to bust your bubble, but I've talked to people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s who have never, ever been committed. I just told you, I just talked to this lady, been 60 years old, has went to church her entire life, and she could not tell me that she was born again. Oh, she said, I know Christ. I said, well, that's pretty cool, so don't Satan. Tell me how you're born again. You know what I'm questioning? Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit, right? What are you doing for Christ? How are you growing in Christ? What are you doing for Christ? Because when we get saved, it ain't about us no more. It's all about Him. Check this out. If you want to release that today, what's holding you back? I want to talk to you out of a very familiar scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now this scripture, the theme of this scripture, don't miss it, is endurance. And I want to tell you, when you give your life to Christ, you need to have some endurance. When you give your life to Christ, the same normal everything every day, and there's no strife and no struggles, you probably need to rededicate your life to Christ and get near to Him and get in His Word so you can get the devil out of us, amen? I'm talking about me this morning. I need to endure. Such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us. Here it is, so we must. It says we must, right? And this is key, so we must. Get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. Now, has anybody got some sin that just won't let go? Keep your hands down. I know that's us, all of us. And we must be determined to run a race that is ahead of us. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. So, what's this say? The sin that won't let go of us, it's like a runner. Everybody prepares for the race, right? If everybody goes out and runs at 13.1 or whatever that long 26.2, I guess, I don't know, 20, those long marathons, first of all, there got to be something wrong with you, all right? Why would you run without any purpose, right? I only run when somebody's after me, all right? Other than that, I ain't going to run. The only thing I got to remember then, I might be big, I just don't got to be the slowest guy, all right? All right, all runners run with the same purpose in mind, but only one gets the prize. So you got to be focused on the training. You got to run with the intention that you're going to win the prize, or why even get in the race if you don't want to win the prize, right? So we think about this. Listen, it says lay aside every weight. In other words, there's some stuff that has to change in your life today. And I specifically wrote down three things I believe is of the Lord. How would I change? Choose friends who are also as committed as you. Choose friends who are as also committed as you. Secondly, you got to drop some activities. You're doing some things. I was talking to some brothers just a minute ago. Oh, busy. I had this talk with some of my family. Busy. What's that stand for? Everybody knows in this church. Being under Satan's yoke. Busy. Somebody said, I don't like to hear that. Neither did I when I had to realize it was me. Amen. So we got to unbusy ourselves, or how are we going to work and doing what God's called us to do? And our focus needs to be on the cross. That's where praise and prayer comes in. We got to pray, fast, evangelize, fellowship. What's the last one? The Word of God, right? We got to be in it to win it. Third one, this is important. If you want to change, you need to get someone to help you with the things that disable you. So some of you say, well, I got help from my addiction. Good. You won too, didn't you? Yeah. Still struggle? Yeah, but I got help. So I got some accountability. I know that. But how about relationships? How about jobs at work? And, you know, this is the best job I ever got, man. God bless them. It's wonderful. I've been making note because in 3 to 6 months, you're going to say it's the worst job you ever had. Amen. Woo. Amen. Woo. Best boss I ever had. I've heard this. Thank you. Thank you very much. We want to do some devotions, prayer a little bit. Man, that guy is such a jerk. I said, well, see what changed, right? Something changed, all right. Think about what I'm telling you this morning. We begin to look at this, and we've got to get into the place where we begin to understand that there's something that has to happen with change, but you got to choose friends who are committed to what your commitment is. You got to quit hanging out with people doing things that you don't want to do, because if you keep doing the same things, you're going to get the same results. You got to drop certain activities. I can't go there no more, can't do that no more, can't be around that no more. I'm going to steer clear of that. I got to get help for things that's got me all bound up and tied up, and I'm going to begin to just go ahead and lean in to what God said. They might make fun of me, but I'm going to get deep in the Word of God. I'm going to church when the doors are open. I'm going to draw near to people who want to get near to God. I want to get around people who want to feel the presence of the living God. I don't care what everybody else says. I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. It don't matter how shipwrecked or busted I look. I know that when I walk into the presence of God, something comes alive in me. I know He delivered me. I know He healed me. I know He set me free. And to whom He sets free is free indeed. Ooh, look at that. We got to choose there. Everybody say, I want to choose different. And that will allow me to change. You see, nothing changes without change. And if I keep doing what I've always done, I want to keep getting what I've always got and will keep feeling the way I've always felt. I've got to ask you this morning, do you really want to change? All right, all five of us are going to change today. Because the truth is this, we get comfortable in our stuff. We get comfortable in our place. We get comfortable in who we think we are when we need to be uncomfortable in who He is. And know that He's calling me to deeper waters, and knowing that He ain't teaching me and training me and allowing me to go through affliction for nothing. He's bringing me through it so I can minister to another soul. I believe some of us here this morning might be ready for some changes in their life. And if not, I want to give you the famous Albert Einstein quote, right? And everybody probably can quote it, because I've quoted it a lot of times from here. He said, the definition of insanity, or crazy, if you will, because when we're insane, we're crazy, right, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Imagine that. I'm glad ain't none of us like that. I'm just preaching to me. Don't get all mean mugging me. We have to understand here today that nothing, and I mean nothing, is going to change in our lives unless something changes in our lives. We keep saying, I hope for, I wish for, but why don't we just put some change into action, amen? Amen. How about Woodrow Wilson? You like Woodrow? Let me give you a quote from Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning. If you want to make enemies, try to change something. We use this at my church all the time. I'll see Mark over and say, hey, would you mind helping and doing this? Oh, well, there they go. Why? Because we ask them to change. We ask them to tend the door. We ask them to work in the coffee shop or serve a dinner, right? And you say, that's funny. That's not true. It's true. It's true. So I tell them, quit asking people to do stuff. All right? So 10% of the body of Christ does 90% of the work. That's okay, right? Here's the thing I want you to get out of this, is that change scares people. Amen. Whether you want to admit it or not, and whether we want to admit it or not, change can be very threatening. Change can be very, does everybody know what I'm talking about? Because you ask me to change, I'm going to tell, oh, sure I will. You better get behind me, Satan. Right? We talk about all of a sudden forked tongue, right? Yeah, I want to change. Not really. I want to get rid of that sin. I kind of like it. Okay, let me keep going. Change can be very threatening. Why? Because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty. And when you feel like you're out of control, there's nothing better than that. When you begin to release your control to what God's desire is for your life, it won't no longer go haywire. He'll begin to do what only He can do. He'll begin to put you like a heat-seeking missile on exactly what He wants you to hit. He'll begin to give you a target, and as you're launched, you won't even know what you're headed for, but you know you got to get closer, you got to get deeper, you got to love Him more, you got to get the things that He wants for you, and you'll begin to look at it like you're completely uncertain and out of control, and there is He. Because of that uncertainty, people develop an attitude. Or if you will, a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. 2 Timothy gives us a commandment here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, the way I like to read this, God has not given me a spirit of fear, You must flee from me now in the name of Jesus. What? Oh, he lives out of the word. So when a dude downtown pulled the gun on me and emptied two clips and missed me, guess what? God has not given me a spirit of fear. Oh, that guy's crazy, man. No, I just got God. And I'm telling you, even if you get shot and killed, you shouldn't have the spirit of fear. All right, let me keep going. Here it is. Everybody say, here it is.
Here it is.
What's it say? He's not giving us the spirit of fear. That's from the enemy.
Yes, right.
Finish the scripture. Here it says, but of power?
Yes.
He's giving me the spirit of power? So I can rise up, muscle up, chest out, and take the devil on. He's endued me with power from on high. Me, little old me. Yeah, little old you. Look at this. And of love. Man, you do me wrong, I cut your throat. I'll beat you up. This is us, right? Let's keep it real. You cross me, you're going to wish you never crossed me. That's what we think, isn't it? But then all of a sudden, somebody does you wrong, you begin to love them. You're like, man, Lord, where'd that come from? And I told you the story about the guy that punched me in the face and spit in my face, the things that hit my triggers. And I've been praying, God, I want to be able to love like you love. And I said, forgive me if I've done anything to offend you. I said, where did that come from? Really? Because you got to want and you got to desire what God has for you. You got to desire that more than being right. You got to desire that more than getting the last word in. You got to desire that more than anything else. You know that you've been endued with power, and God said it of love. So when you begin to put the power and love into action, things begin to change. And it says, I got a sound mind now. I tell you what, devil, you keep telling me my mind's all messed up, but I'm telling you, God has endued me with power from on high to take authority over you. And I command you to hell. I'm going to love with a sound mind. What is this stuff all about? Everybody say word.
Word.
Well, when you start getting this, all of a sudden there's freedom in it. I love this stuff. What's this talking about? When Paul mentions these three characteristics of the effective Christian leader. Are you a leader?
Yes.
Well, first of all, are you a Christian? Yes. And if you are, you are a leader because somebody's watching and following and cares about what you're doing. And you say, well, not really. And when they start seeing you act this out, they say, well, Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill, they always, and they're saying there's something different. Something different. And Doug and Jill begins to say, you know what it is? You know what it is? No, I'm not real sure. I know I accepted Christ at that altar up there, but man, something's beginning to change inside of me. The world's always told me I was this and I was that, but they keep telling me that the Word says, and I'm getting in the Word, and the Word's getting in me, and I'm changing. It doesn't matter what everybody's always told me. I know that I might be messed up, and I might be doing things they think is wrong, but all of a sudden, the people around me, they begin to know that I've been endued with power. They know that I have something powerful inside of me. They know I know how to love, and God is clearing my mind. I am sounding. I'm walking in authority. Oh, I know I'm walking in it. Three characteristics. Let's not forget those. Those three characteristics so important because the devil reminds you every day you ain't got them. Therefore, we should not be fearful of change. Change can absolutely and will be good. Change can be exactly what you and I have waited for and what we absolutely need. Change can change some things that we thought was inevitable or could never be changed. It happens with individuals. Individually, you can change. It happens with your marriages. It happens in business. It happens in organization. And unfortunately, with some churches, they change for good or worse. Some of them walk away from the sound doctrine of the Bible today. Think about what we're talking about this morning. Change is real, and it'll happen. Even the people of Christ's day who were looking for and expecting the promised Messiah, think about this. They didn't accept him when he came. They did not accept him when he came because he didn't come the way that they expected him to come. It wasn't what they was looking for, nor did he do what they wanted him to do when he came. As a result, they rejected Christ. They rejected the Savior of the universe, and they missed out on the greatest opportunity for real change that the world has ever seen, nor will they ever see. Because it wasn't what I wanted or what I expected. Someone rejected. One of the greatest motivations for serving God is because it changes you.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is the one I was going to close with, too. Everybody got this one? Write it down, take a picture of it, burn it on your brain, get a tattoo of it on the end of your tongue so you can stick it out and look at it. You ready? Therefore, if, and everybody say if. Now listen, I'm going to throw this, I ain't going to bang on that. I'm going to tell you the truth. If. Now you might think it's some kind of joke, but I don't. Because I'm going to tell you, check your own baggage, amen. You go ahead and look at yourself. Well, I said this magical prayer, there's nothing in the prayer. Sorry. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. You hear me? We was talking to a guy the other day and says, well, I ain't into all this religion stuff. I said, neither am I. I absolutely hate. Matter of fact, my Savior hated religion. I said, what he wanted us to have is a personal relationship. Ain't you got a relationship? Well, I used to have, but I went to this Calvinist Bible college, and they think this and think that. Talking to my wife, who he was talking to, guess what? She said, I would have never known all that if you didn't teach me that. I said, let me tell you the truth. That's the way the world is today. Let me find a reason to reject Christ. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let me get back on here. Therefore, everybody say if. If any man be in Christ, okay, now here's the thing. If any person be in Christ, the thing is, if you have Christ, let me keep going. You are a new, it says he is a new creature, but you are a new creature. Here's where it's at. You read it to me. Read it, let's go. Okay, now as a congregation, let's start over. All right, and you preach to me a little bit. Read that. Amen. Well, maybe I'm not reading that right. I think, well, everybody got a racer? We'll race some of this out here. We're going to cancel some of this out. Because it says, if I am in Christ, the old things are gone. They're dead. They're going away with. Why you keep going back to them? Amen. We just got done finding out that if we read this, what Einstein said, insanity, craziness is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. And the truth is this. Guess what? We keep doing the same thing over and over because sin looks good, tastes good, smells good, feels good for a season, but it always leads to destruction. It always kills the spiritual person that you are. It begins to deceive you and it distract you and give you a disillusionment until you begin to think it's okay. Well, if the word really said, listen, this is scriptural, it happened to Jesus, it'll happen to you, amen. We begin to think being a lukewarm Christian is okay, but that is not what the Word of God says. It says, if you are lukewarm, I'd just soon be you be ice cold because I will spit you from my mouth. He wants you on fire. He wants you all the way in so you can begin to change. Oh man, this stuff's controversial. Oh, controversial. Lord, help us be truth. But if a person be in Christ, then the simplest interpretation I have for the scripture is change. If I'm really in Christ, then I must change. And here's the thing. Everybody ready to get offended? Everybody say forgive the pastor. But if you have Facebook, which I don't look at no more, because y'all get me in trouble. All right, looking at your Facebook, and I say, you can't talk like that, do that, act like that. You're a child of the king. But if you look at your own Facebook, you can say stuff and just get by with it, right? Wrong. Because God's on your Facebook. God is in you. And when you begin to vent, you better be careful. Everybody say, you better go on now, because I'm getting mad. The simple interpretation of this is change. So what I couldn't do is I couldn't handle Facebook, so I changed. I don't get on it. Very rarely will I get on. You know why? Because I don't like that. It's like terrible. There can be a change in me today. There can be a change in me today. I don't have to stay the way that I am today. I don't have to be a person that I'm not. I can be the person that God created me. I don't have to be a worrier any longer if you just sit around and worry and fret over stuff. I don't have to be someone who is always despondent and not attached and not really doing what I've been called to do. I don't have to be someone who sees gray skies all the time, even when there's blooming blue skies and sun outside. I don't have to be bound up by the sin. I don't have to be destroyed by my lack of self-esteem any longer. Therefore, if I'm in Christ, therefore, if I am in Christ, the old's gone and the new is here. I'm a new creature of Christ. I have and I will change. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Things can change and things can be different, but the choice is ours. Imagine life differently. Seriously, think about this just a second. Differently. Imagine your life without all the stuff that keeps you from being happy. All the stuff that keeps you from being happy. Imagine for a moment what it would feel like to get out of bed in the morning and be truly happy. I'm telling you, me. I used to lay in that bed. I had all the bells and whistles and all that stuff. And I looked at all that, and I said, God, get more of that stuff. It took all my time. I was busy. I was under Satan's yoke. But I still laid in the same bed every night, and being honest with myself, I look at the same old ceiling. I said, this is all there is to life. There's accomplishments and positions and promotions and money. Not very happy. But happy. You know, that's what Solomon was saying, wasn't it? There's a time for all that. Yeah, you got to make money. Yeah, there's things you got to do, but there's a time for some change too. And if we're not growing, we're dying. Look at that. Imagine for just a minute what it'd be like to go through the entire day without feeling depressed. The whole day not feeling angry at somebody, or the whole day not being jealous because somebody got the promotion you didn't, or feeling like you're unloved. Because the truth is this, is that when we come into a place like this, that's a house of God, the truth is that we love you. As we love you into a relationship with Christ, and as you find that, somewhere down the road, the devil begin to tell you we're the problem. But remember, this is the best job, the best boss, the best I ever had. Well, 3 months, 6 months, 2 months later, that place is crazy, and man, they're teaching false doctrine, and blah, 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 blah. I just had that phone call this weekend. Yeah, I got a week off. They called, and I said, I heard you said you wouldn't help this person. I know you way better than that. And I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And he said, I knew it when I heard it. The accuser of their brethren is Satan. Say it again. Who accuses you? Don't let Satan use your mouthpiece, amen. Don't let Satan use your mouthpiece. You begin to think about, therefore, if any person is in Christ, they're a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things become new. So you got to power down every time you think you have the right to power up. You might want to punch them in the mouth, but God says, go ahead and love them anyway. Oh, you said, man, he's talking to me. He knows sometimes I want to bust him right in the chops. You know what I'm talking about? Let him cut you off in traffic and see how you act. Let them not seat you at the right table for dessert or for dinner even, and you get awful mad. If they don't get your order exactly right, who in the world is that? You come in praising the Lord, hallelujah, then they give you a track or a church card. Don't pass our church cards out like that. Amen. And then you get mad. Look at this. Did you know that this verse of Scripture is talking about the effect of change? There's an effect of change that happens in a person's life when they get born again. That's what this is talking about. If you're truly born again, it doesn't mean you're having a Satan thing where I believe, but I'm going to figure out how to trip you up Jesus, right? You ain't doing all that. What you've done is you're kicking Satan out, and you've invited Christ, the Holy Spirit, in. Things begin to change. You see, to be in Christ is to be buried with him, dead to self. This is the problem. We got to be dead to ourself. Let me keep going. There is a change that happens in a person's life when they get saved. There should be. They don't act the way they used to act. They don't talk the way they used to talk. They don't go where they used to go. They don't feel the way they used to feel. There is a change. Something changes inside of them. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that's in their life. It's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's what God begins to do. That's what he does. So yeah, they can look at you all crazy with all three eyes, but if you're really in God, they're going to begin to see him and not you. You're going to walk into the jail system or the prison systems and be doing the work of God, or the school systems, and they're going to say, man, every time you walk in, the hair stands up on my neck. It's what happens, isn't it? And you say, that's the power and the might and the love of God that's inside of me. We know what that's like. That's what people tell you. You tell me your stories, and that is Christ in you. You see, God has never, God, everybody listen to me. If you truly have accepted Christ, God is never, everybody say never. Yes. God is never going to leave you where he found you. Yes. God is never going to leave you where he found you. He's going to bless you. Amen. Woo. Amen. He's going to encourage you. Yes. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to heal you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to stand above, rise you above all the tribulation in your life. He'll put some things down to rise you up, amen. He'll begin to change things that you thought couldn't be changed. He'll begin to allow your stinking thinking to become what he wants. He'll begin to make you sober when you know you couldn't get sober. He'll begin to let your dark eyes become light eyes. He'll begin to allow you to change, and people begin to say, what is it about you? It ain't nothing but Christ in me. Yeah, brother, thank you for standing. Hallelujah. Lord, bless him. Bless him, Lord. Pour it out. Change in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something changes. Think about this. I remember the darkness that surrounded my life before I was saved and before I ever came to Christ. I remember fear when I said I feared nothing. I remember the despondency of my life. I remember the shame and the guilt that the enemy put upon me. I remember battling in there as long as I was a functional addict, as long as I thought it was okay, as long as I was a cheater and didn't get caught, as long as I did everything I could do wrong and I got by with it. I thought I was okay. But there's something else that I remember very, extremely vividly. And that was the immediate change that took place in my life the night I accepted Christ. I've got to be honest with you today. Before I was saved, I really didn't think that there was much wrong with me. But I have to admit, having realized the change that the Lord did in my life, there was a lot more wrong with me than I ever thought was really wrong with me. I had to admit it. To be free of it. I remember the clean feeling I felt the night I was saved. I remember standing at that altar 20-some years ago. I'd never forget it, and I didn't think I needed Christ. I was a person that was against Christ. I thought he wasn't real. I thought he was fake, and I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't smell him. I don't want nothing to do with him, and he didn't do nothing but call me forward, and that old country preacher began to tell me, boy, God's been waiting on you a long time, and inside of me, I thought of this. Everybody that's in my family claims to be a Christian and are pretty sorry at it, in my opinion. And he said, take your focus off of them, because I'm calling you to something deeper. I'm calling you into change. I remember the darkness that surrounded my life very well. I began to know what old Paul Harvey said. Everybody listen to Paul Harvey? Anybody remember him? And Paul Harvey, they asked him, how do you feel, Mr. Harvey, after you got saved? He said, I feel clean. And that's how I felt. As a boss, the next day, on Monday, I go to work. They say, boss, what do you want to do? Bum, bum, bum. I said, no, that'd be wrong. They're like, what's wrong with that guy? I said, no, do it that. Well, you said Friday. I said, yeah, Friday I was a liar. They kept asking me these things. The girls that you want to mess with come up to you, and they said, what's wrong with you? You don't want to flirt and play around? No, I'm a child of the King. Right. Oh, let's get away from him, all right? That's all right. You'll take the ridicule, you'll take the humiliation, but what he's wanting you to practice is humility. He knows what you used to be. You know better than anybody what you used to be. But you also know who you are in Christ. Once you get that inside of you and you understand that power, that love, and that sound mind, you can begin to think differently. But until then, it's like old Paul Harvey, the opposition. I ain't unclean. I'm unclean. I become clean when I'm in Christ. It is craziness to continue to do the same thing and think something different is going to come out of it. I've heard people say, I'm going to change. Have you? I've been that person. I'm going to change, but nothing changes in their life. If you truly, really want genuine change in your life, why don't you change something here today? Why don't you just lay something down? Quit being a fake man. Be who you really are. God created you perfectly. You don't got to cover nothing up or fake it to make it. I hate hearing that. Fake it to make it. Go to hell. Don't fake it to make it. Be real. There's nothing good in you or me but Christ. Why not make a decision to start walking with God today in a greater way than you ever have, producing fruit that maybe you've never produced? Why don't we make a decision today to talk to God before we talk to anybody else? Quit gossiping, quit backbiting, quit backstabbing, quit lying. And how about come to God and be real with him today so he can be real with us? There's a saying that says prayer changes things. You guys remember that? The saying is a song too. Can I just say it's just silly to pray honestly and not expect change to take place in my life or your life. It doesn't have to be eloquent. So often we see people who can pray some eloquent prayers, but sometimes it just doesn't seem like it works, right? It just needs to be honest. It just needs to be sincere. And like I said last week, talking to a group of pastors, you know what stokes me, man? Is I find someone who just loves the Lord. And they don't know, I can't pray eloquent, pastor. I can't do good. Pray, man, I want you to pray for me. Because I know it's from your heart. And it's from your heart that begins to change things. I remember the darkness that surrounded my life. I remember all that so well. Do you? I think we should. I'm sure that most of us know this already. But if you're struggling with something in your life, and it's beyond your control. That's what I'm talking about this morning. You might think, well, he or she, we're struggling with addiction. Or I'm asking you, are you struggling with a relationship? Are you struggling with a relationship? Come on, be real. Don't answer me. Are you struggling with relation? Are you struggling with a sound mind? Are you struggling with loving? Are you struggling with knowing and getting beat up by everybody else because you don't want to power up for Christ? What are you struggling with? Is it your relationship? Do you need to get stronger in your relationship? Do you need to witness more? Do you need to pray more? Do you need to preach more to other people in a loving way? What's going on with this? I want you to know that prayer can change things this morning. It doesn't have to be long or eloquent like we talked about. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. It just has to come from your heart. In 1 Peter, check this out. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Excuse me. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. He cares for you. That's powerful, isn't it? He cares for you. Think about this. What's going on here? When you look at this where it says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you, carrying your worries. Listen to me. Are you carrying your worries today? Right? Are you carrying your stresses today in and out of your relationships, going to bed every night saying, God, take this stress away from me. My chest is tight, but picking it up in the morning. Are you carrying your daily struggles by yourself? So if you're worrying and stressing and struggling by yourself, it shows you have not trusted God completely to fully and fully with your life. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you need to surrender it. It means you need to let go of it because you can't anyway, but he can. We need to come to a place where casting all your care upon him, you begin to realize he cares about me. He doesn't want that. He will answer my prayer. Change must happen in life. Look at that. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, to appoint unto them the Mount of Zion, to give unto them, look at this. Has he taken and given you beauty for your ashes? Has he not? Oil for joy in the morning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's your testimony. You know what you was. This is because of the righteousness of God. He brought you from beauty. Look, he gave you beauty for ashes. I did the best I could do. I knew that standing at that altar that day. I knew that day that I had everything that a man could want, but I didn't have contentment. I did not have peace. I did not have joy. I was not happy. And at the end of the day, I began to wonder, God, why me? And he said, why not you? You know what I'm talking about? Because whether you're a believer or not, I was not a believer. And when I stood there, I began to wonder, why do I believe? All of a sudden, he said, you remember, he reminded me of this. You remember when I said no, and you had an argument and said, I'm going to do it anyway? He said, that's because you're made in my image. And if I made you in my image, I've been dealing with you before birth. I began to set a way and a path for you that was straight. You can buck it and fight it and choose any way you want to. But when I begin to call you, when I begin to put you in the crosshairs, when I begin to call you into ministry, when I begin to deliver you, it doesn't matter with you saying, God, if you'll deliver me, I won't take another drink. Or God, if you'll take this strap off and you'll bring me back, if you can get somebody to shoot some Narcan up in my veins and allow me to live one more time. All that time, he's telling you, I have a call on you. You're made in my image. I've positioned you for greatness. And it doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. I have delivered you and I've set you free with my purpose in mind. You are mine. Yeah. Woo! All right, Lord. Wow. That's what this is saying. Change must happen. Change must happen. God wants to take your brokenness and put you together brand new. But we have to realize here today that nothing changes if nothing changes. Romans 12:2, familiar scripture, right? Therefore, listen to this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What? What's the rest of the world doing right now? Lukewarm at best, right? We see that. I'm a Christian. I deal with this in my family. You deal with it in your family. And we talk about this. We intercede. We have prayer up in here. We got all these small groups. People come to my house, and they say, I'm sick and tired of my siblings, my mom, my dad, my cousin, my brother, my grandma, my grandpa, whoever it is. I want them to have a relationship. I want them to be committed. I want them to grow. That's good. Do you desire that for your family? Do you desire it for your coworkers? Do you desire that for the people who are sitting next to you in church today? Then this has to happen for you and I. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then and only then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Transformed, it says, by the renewing of your mind. Transform means to undergo a change in structure. It's a genetic modification. You hear me? I said some magic words, and boy, I feel good about myself now. I punched my ticket. I ain't going to hell no more. Woo! I hope we don't go to hell. But it's about relationship. If you're lukewarm, I assume you'd be ice cold. You hear what I'm saying to you, church? This month in December is going to be hard here, because we're going to celebrate the true purpose of Christmas. We're going to celebrate it. I got this for you. You guys know that we started with an outreach ministry called Changing Lives Now Ministries, right? And how I got that name was, God said, won't you change lives now? I changed yours right now. Won't you change lives right now? I said, all right, so what's that look like? And he gave me a symbol, or we call it a mascot, of a caterpillar. What comes out of a caterpillar? Butterflies. So we started looking at that, but let me read this to this. Caterpillar is not a beautiful creature. A caterpillar, it's ugly. All right, it crawls around the ground, vulnerable to predators, but at some point in its life, it undergoes a transformation. Everybody say transformation. Both physically and mentally, it changes. The transformation physically causes the genetic structure to change and produces wings to a multitude of color that makes it possible for the new creature to fly and look prettier, by the way, than before. Even you look prettier once you get saved, amen? And also, there's a transformation that takes place in its mind. You begin to think about a caterpillar? It's got a mind. Ain't no different than us. It's got a mind, right? So you think about change. When it was a caterpillar, it was just like you. Not so pretty, ugly. Crawling around in the muck and mire, getting all dirty, right? All it could do is just crawl around. You remember that? I told you, I was standing at an altar repenting, and I didn't even know why. I had everything. Why was that? I found out I was ugly. I found out what I was made of and who I was ugly. I needed to add something new to me, and I didn't know what it was. It was ugly. It would crawl around. But after the transformation in the mind, the caterpillar, it began to do some realization. Oh, I can fly. All of a sudden, he can fly. He can rise above being stepped on. He can rise and maneuver above being predators. But if there hasn't been a change, nothing would have never changed. And I begin to think about that. How would I think about that? Because that's the truth. I always was stepped on, starting with my father. And he began to say, you're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. You're worthless. And I begin to believe that. And then all of a sudden, I begin to live a life of addiction. I begin to do everything wrong because I had someone so into me that there was something wrong. I was a caterpillar crawling around the muck and mire. I thought I was destined to be stepped on and to be walked on, and ain't nobody going to treat me like that. There ain't nobody going to step on me. But all of a sudden, there was a realization that day at the altar of repentance when I accepted Jesus Christ. I began to understand how I was really wonderfully and beautifully made, and it doesn't matter what everybody else says. I begin to rise up out of my addiction. I begin to take Christ for what He says He is. I begin to do what He wanted me to do, and you can today as well. Think about this. As I close this morning, therefore, this is the scripture that saved my life. Therefore, if any of us be in Christ, I was new. We're a new creature. I had to let all the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. As long as you stay in that condition, you're always going to get the same old results. But if you would just allow change to come to your life this morning, He will turn your situation around. You might be saying, is He talking about people saved or unsaved? All of us. We all got this one thing we want to hold on to. We all got this closet we don't want to empty out. Remember, nothing changes without change. As the praise and worship team makes their way up, I want us to make up our minds today as we stand. Can you make up your mind today as you stand? I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You must change from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. You must change from being lost to being found. You must change from being hurt to being healed today. You must change from being sad to being happy. You must change from being out of your mind to being at perfect peace with who God created you to be. If we think about this, we go right back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it warns us and it gives us direction. Let us throw off everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run a race with perseverance. The race is marked out for you. Think about this. Think about what it is that entangles us, what ensnares us. What is it? Unforgiveness? What is it? It's up to us to answer that, correct? Can it be pornography? I've got everything conquered, but I can't get rid of this. Can it be that illicit affair that you're having you ought not to have? Can it be cheating? Can it be gambling? Can it be whatever? Think about what I'm telling you. What is it that's got you out of character and keeping you from being where God wants you to be? And if there's anybody that can say, that ain't me, then we need to trade places because that is us. As long as we wear flesh and we're in Christ, we must check the flesh daily, minutely, secondly. Take the first step. As they start the music, go ahead and start the music, Lorenzo, please. Because change begins with the first step, and nothing changes without change. Are you ready to change today? Do you have something you need to get rid of?